This is the Yes to Life show. It's a show in which I talk to a huge range of practitioners, scientists, oncologists, and people with cancer to find out more about what's happening in the field of integrative medicine for cancer, the broadest possible approach to cancer treatment, and one that includes anything that could help someone to deal with cancer psychologically, emotionally, or physically. In this week's show, I'm investigating a treatment called GC-MAF. GC-MAF hit the headlines recently when the facility producing it in the UK was closed in a high-profile raid. Rather than just accepting the media headlines, I wanted to look behind the scenes to hear more about it from both a patient and a practitioner point of view. So to start with, I'm going to speak over Skype with Gail Harling, someone who has personal experience of GC-MAF. Hi Gail, and thanks very much for agreeing to come on the show and tell us a bit about your experience of using GC-MAF.
Well, it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to be on the show and tell my story. And hopefully there'll be plenty of people out there that we will be able to help. My story actually began 11 years ago when I found one day I wasn't quite as supple, because I'm actually a very active, fit person, as I normally am. So I decided to go down to the doctors and get checked over, where they gave me an ultrasound and discovered, to my horror, that I had a tumour that actually weighed a stone.
Wow.
And that I had, yeah, it was huge. And I had ovarian cancer.
Mm.
I went in, had it removed. I wasn't offered chemotherapy, and I just got back on with my life 6 weeks later. And then within 3 years, I had yet again another tumour. Mm. So once again, I went into hospital and I had that removed, and no chemo was offered to me.
Mm.
When I had the first tumour, it reached its peak, basically. Mm. And because I'd had the one tumour, therefore I was having checkups every 3 months. And that was how I discovered 3 years down the line that I had another one.
Mm.
And the reason I wasn't offered any treatment was because I was told that the kind of tumour I had does not respond to chemotherapy.
Okay. So...
As I say, 6 weeks after the second tumour was removed, I just got back on with my life again. And then to my horror, the third one came along.
Mm.
And that was the big one. I had no idea. It just kind of came up almost like overnight. And... they then offered me chemotherapy. They said it was not operable because of where it was growing. It was right at the back of my pelvis. And they said that I had no choice but to have chemotherapy.
Mm.
And I did question it because I thought, you told me it doesn't work with this particular tumour. And they said, yes, that's right, Gail, but this is the only chance you've got. You are stage 4 terminal. So I had the chemotherapy. I had 3 months of it. I lost my hair. I felt absolutely awful. And after 3 months, they told me it had had no effect whatsoever. And there wasn't any more they could do for me. And they said, I had 3 months, and if I was lucky, I might make 2 years. And they actually sent me home with an appointment for a Macmillan nurse to come and visit me. And they gave me a manual so I could be prepared for all the awful things that was going to happen to me.
Hmm.
Well, once I got my head around this, a week later I went back to the hospital and I said, there must be something you can do. Because I love life so much. You know, I really enjoy life. I burn the candle at both ends.
Okay.
And I certainly don't want to die. And they said, well, we'll try you on tamoxifen, which is a hormone drug. So I took the tamoxifen. I took it for about 6 weeks. I felt absolutely awful. I felt so, so depressed. And if somebody had come along with a gun, I would have said, just shoot me. Just please shoot me and put me out of my misery.
So in terms of quality of life, low would be a good description.
On the floor. And I'm not that kind of person.
Right.
Even though I was told I only had a short time, I'm still bright, breezy, jolly, you know. Mm. And I went back to the hospital and I said, this drug is making me feel suicidal. Mm. And they said, nope, tamoxifen doesn't do that. But not to worry. Don't worry about it, because we'll give you antidepressants. And I said, I don't want antidepressants. I just want to feel like I used to. So they said, well, just try and persevere a little bit longer with the medication. So I agreed to do that. And then one day, I was out walking my dogs, and I was all bright and cheery, as I used to be. And then I realized I'd forgotten to take one tablet, just one tablet one day. Mm. And so they went in the bin, and that was the end of that. And I decided, right, I'm just going to go it alone.
Right.
And what will be, will be. But I never actually believed that I was going to die. I thought, no, nope, I'm going to be fine. And then a very dear friend of mine actually knew somebody and been talking about what's happened to me. And they said, well, I know David Notes. He's just bringing over to England GC Math. Maybe Gail would like to try it. And I told my family, and they said, no, don't do it, Mum. Don't do it. You know, you don't know what it is. And I have to say, I would never, ever have gone on the internet and looked for anything, because there are so many charlatans out there. I just wouldn't have taken the chance. Mm. But because a dear friend knew of this person, I knew he must be good. He must be all right. And I thought, well, I've got 3 months left. What have I got to lose? Absolutely nothing. So I went along. I met David Notes and his partner, and they explained how GC Math works. Mm-hmm. And I thought, fine. Absolutely fine. Let's just get on with it. Let's do it. And it was a little vial, and I just injected twice a week with a diabetic needle, a very small amount, because GC Math is something that we already have in our body. I don't know if you realize that. It's like, you could say it's like the commanding officer of our immune system. And what it does is it sends out these little macrophages into action, which actually destroys the viruses. And around 10,000 mutant cancer cells every day of our lives. It's also an immune system regulator. But when cancer invades, it actually destroys our GC Math. So our immune system then is compromised, and the cancer grows unchecked. So there I was injecting, basically, back into myself. And within 3 months, that tumour shrunk. Mm. And
so just tell me, first thing is, how often were you injecting yourself?
Yes, I was injecting twice a week.
Twice a week. And when you say the tumour had shrunk, this is your hospital team were monitoring the tumour with scans?
Yes, I was having scans every 3 months.
Okay.
So it was within 3 months they noticed a big difference in the tumour shrinking. I also had metastases in my lungs and my stomach.
Yes.
And they started to decrease.
Okay. And when they say the original tumour decreased in size, did they give you any indication of how much?
Yes, it had reduced by a third.
A third, okay, yeah.
And on one of my regular checkups, the surgeon who I had seen initially, he said to me, in all honesty, Gail, he said, somebody's had a tumour come back as quickly like you did for the third time. You know, you just shouldn't be here. So something is obviously working for you. And I also modified my diet, because that is also very important. We've learnt that it's very important that you have a high protein diet of fish and chicken, vegetables, nuts, and that you cut out the carbs and the sugars, because we know also that cancer feeds on sugar. So it's all those bits together which helped me to completely get rid of the cancer that I had in my pelvis. But yes, so what happened was it eventually reduced so much that I went into hospital and I had what was left removed. And that was 6 years ago.
6 years ago.
That was now 6 years
right.
ago.
So when you say what was left removed, you're talking about the primary tumour, and your secondary tumours had all resolved, had all gone away?
Yes, they all disappeared.
Right, so you didn't have any. So that was the only thing that was left. And did they test the tumour that they removed?
Yes, they did test it. Oh. What I was always led to believe, that a GC mass actually coats the tumour with some kind of fat. That's the only way I can describe it, and that stops it from spreading anywhere else. So even when it was decreasing in my body, it wasn't able to spread anywhere else. So and it was covered in all this. My surgeon actually took a photograph, because he said to me before I went down to theatre, "Is there anything I can do for you, Gail?" And I said, "Yes, if I have one wish, I would like you to take a picture of the tumour, because I've actually never seen it." And he did that, and it looked like a little orange covered in this fat. Quite amazing. And then six weeks after I had that removed, I just went back to my life. I'm a gardener. I do very heavy lifting. I'm very fit. And, of course, because I modified my diet, it has really, really helped me. But also the other added factor is that I do take, in the winter, high levels of vitamin D. We know that's crucial as well. You have to have, and most people actually don't have a lot of vitamin D in their bodies.
No. So following the last treatment you had from the hospital, which was the tamoxifen, the only things that you've done to help yourself are to take GCMAF and to change your diet.
And to make
sure you've got enough vitamin D.
Yes, vitamin D. Yeah, and of course, I have exercise, fresh air,
right,
well-being. That's very important.
Yes. Very important. Okay. By most standards, then, that's a very low intervention for a very serious condition.
Yes, that's right.
You would think. And clearly, out of those things, I mean, the diet itself is obviously a very supportive thing to do for anybody who's got cancer. But on its own, it's unlikely to be enough to resolve a stage 4 cancer. So things do point towards the fact that the GCMAF has done a lot of work.
Yes, it's done the main job. Absolutely, it's definitely done the main job. But then to finish off that job, you need to have that good, healthy diet and lots of vitamin D.
Yes. So with the GCMAF, how long did you use it for?
Oh, I used it for quite some time, actually, because it was in my body, even though it had shrunk. They left it in my body, it must have been for a good 18 months, because the doctors simply did not want to remove it, because they simply didn't feel it was beneficial to me. Well, but I wanted it removed. I wanted to know it was out. I wanted to see it. And it was important that they had it and they could do tests on it.
When you say that they reported to you that it wouldn't be beneficial to you to remove it, what do you think they actually were meaning by that?
They never had faith that there was only one surgeon who said that he believed obviously something was working for me. But the other doctors I was confronted with, I don't think that they had faith. If they did, they certainly didn't say. And in fact, one doctor, one professor initially said to me, he said to me, Gail, because I had to, I obviously paid for it.
Yes.
I only paid for it for a short time because David Notes is not a greedy man by far. Mm. And he knew that I would struggle to pay for this. And in the end, because I was doing well, he didn't charge me anymore.
Right.
And in fact, there's plenty of people like that he doesn't charge because he wants the results to be out there. He wants people to see it works.
Right.
And people have got to pay the money and they can't afford to. They're not going to have that opportunity.
No.
And he does give them that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Very interesting. So your feeling was that the doctors who didn't want to remove what was left were kind of in denial about the fact that actually you're doing so well. And didn't mm-hmm. really want to see that there's a very small tumour there and that without it you're going to be absolutely fine. I mean, the thing about an intervention by doctors mm-hmm. at that stage would be they would get to see the fact, the size of the tumour, the condition of the tumour.
Yes.
They'd have an opportunity to see what's actually happening in your body without their mm-hmm. help.
I know.
And so they didn't really want to do that.
One professor actually said to me, he said to me, Gail, if you can afford to buy that rubbish, those were his words. He said to me, it was Christmas time, I remember, just after I'd told I got a short time to live. And he said to me, if you can buy that rubbish, then you can afford to buy Christmas cards for the hospital. And that's how much confidence that he had in GC Maths.
Well, no, that was the point I was making. Is
mm.
if they had no confidence at all in what you were doing, i.e. they didn't want it to be seen that it worked,
yes.
then the safest way was not to have an intervention like taking out a tumour to find out that actually it was very small
yes.
and it was on its last legs, basically,
true.
Without their help. So,
yes.
you know, that's very often the reason they don't want to do an intervention like that, I feel. And also, of course, that once somebody's got to stage four and they've basically earmarked them as somebody who's going to die, there's an unwillingness to generally perform interventions which might be life-saving because they don't think there's any point where somebody's going to die because they it's not going to work from their point of view. They've already got to the stage where they can't save you, so therefore you can't be saved. And
mm-hmm.
So there's a psychology which says, well, there's no point in wasting money on this patient.
And, yes, that's right.
Yeah, I think yes. you've got a bit of both of those going on there.
Yes, I totally agree with you. But they told you you're going to die. Be sure that you are going to die.
Yeah,
Exactly. No two ways about that.
Okay. So you had the op, and... Mm-hmm. Did you carry on with the GC Math for a while afterwards, or did you stop at that point?
No, I took it for some months afterwards, and the reason I took it was in case when they removed the tumour, any little cells were to go and float around in my body, and that was to be sure that they didn't. It was like an extra protection, shall we say.
Makes sense.
And to this day, you know, if I've been with my grandchildren, and often they've got awful colds, and I never get a cold. But just in case, I give myself a shot of GC Math, and then I don't get a cold. I make sure that my immune system is always top-notch, as best as it could be.
Right. Okay, and so you took it for a period afterwards, and then since then you've just been, you carried on being careful with your diet and looking after yourself in all the ways that one would consider were just good lifestyle choices.
Yes, absolutely.
Hmm. All right.
And, you know, and if people say to me, you know, Gail, do you ever say to you, you know, do you ever wonder why you got it and do you ever wish that you hadn't got cancer? And I say no, because I have learned so much, and I am fitter and better physically and mentally than I have ever been.
Mm.
And it's all thanks to GC Math.
Mm.
And I do have people contact me because they know my story. Because ironically enough, you know, when they diagnose you at hospitals with cancer, they say, yes, you have chemo, you have this, you'll have that. But they never, ever ask about your diet, and they never, ever suggest things that you should be doing, like cutting out your sugars and your carbohydrates, because that alone could slow the growth of the cancer down.
Well, that's not orthodox thinking that sugar's got anything to do with it. You just need to read Cancer Research UK, and that's one of the major myths of cancer they're busy debunking. So the establishment in Britain doesn't accept that sugar has anything at all to do with cancer. So that's how it is.
But it's true, it does.
Well, you don't need to convince me. But, no. But yes, absolutely. So that's just what we're dealing with. But so it's a matter of looking out for yourself, basically, at this point, which you've clearly done. And, you know, it was good in a way that you were put in such a desperate situation that you were prepared to go out and do something for yourself. You had nothing to lose, in a way.
No.
Otherwise, as you said, you might never have done that because you weren't tempted to go and look on the internet or anything else.
No, never. But I think that I do believe that people should have this opportunity of an alternative medicine, which there doesn't seem to be any of. You know, I think that doctors should be able to suggest to people that there are alternatives out there, and if they want to try it, they should be allowed to do it, but they can't try it because they don't know it exists in the first place. Because they're trying to keep, you know, trying to get rid of it. They don't want people to know about it. It's like they don't want cures.
Well,
but I don't need to tell you that. I'm sure you know that already.
I know what's going on, and that's right. It's been a war for far too long, and the reason Yes to Life supports integrative medicine is because we want to get beyond the war, the warring factions, because that's the worst possible situation for a patient, is to be caught in the crossfire between orthodox medicine and an alternative medicine, because they just have both sides telling them that the other side is going to kill them. And it's the worst possible situation when they're trying to save their life. So really the only question that somebody who has cancer has is this going to help me? And they just need to know that. They don't care whether it's labelled orthodox medicine or alternative medicine. They just want to know, could this help me? And if on balance there's a good reason to think something could help, and without doing much harm, or maybe without doing any harm, then there's a reason to consider it. And yeah, you're absolutely right. It's supposed to be that patient choice and patient-centred care are at the heart of the NHS. I would say in cancer, that cancer is probably the one area of medicine that is the very furthest away from that those ideals. There is no choice, and it's definitely not about the patients, it's about the protocols. And it's a tragic situation, and one that desperately needs to change. And meanwhile, people are having to make do themselves one way or another, like you did. And, you know, Yes to Life is there to help people at least to do that. So anyway, you've obviously done very well. What have you got to say about what's happened with GC Maths since the time when you had it? Because obviously it's had a rise to sort of a certain notorious fame, and it's hit the headlines, but not necessarily in the ways you'd like. What do you have to say about it?
Well, I believe it's a complete and utter witch hunt. I have had the fortune to get to know David Notes now very well, and so I know his work. I know exactly what has happened. He's had his offices, he's had his home raided, he's had his bank accounts closed because they're trying to get rid of him. And it's not a difficult answer. Why do they want to get rid of him? It's pretty obvious. You know, pharmaceutical companies just don't get rich on well people. And I had the great fortune of travelling to different countries with David Notes to talk to people out there about my experience. And I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting a doctor called Dr. Bradstreet. I don't know if you heard of him. Amazing doctor. Yes. And he had absolutely amazing results, just like David. And he too had his offices raided. It is so corrupt out there, pure corruption, but it isn't David that's corrupt. David knows it works, and he's there to try and prove that there is a cure out there. And luckily, you know, he's a very, very intelligent, determined man, and he will not be squashed.
So what maybe you can bring us up to date with where things are with him at the moment.
Yeah, he's up and running. Yes, he's not allowed to import it to England, but he is allowed to import it to other parts of the world, luckily.
Okay, so it's still out there available, basically.
It is still available. Yes, absolutely it is.
Okay.
And
you would certainly encourage people to consider it, obviously.
Based
on your experience.
Yes, he's honest and he tells the truth. The papers don't tell the truth. The BBC, with their witch hunt they did on the one show, that was the setup. And there's plenty of people out there like myself that have been cured with GC Math. So, you know, but they don't want to interview them because they don't want to know about them.
Very interesting indeed. It's really good to hear it from somebody who's actually been there and used the stuff, and obviously in a very dire situation has managed to turn it around. That's quite compelling listening, and you know, certainly something to take notice of. So thanks very much, Gail, for coming on the show and for being willing to share your story with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. As I say, I do hope it would be of great help to the listeners.
And now I'm going to talk to someone who's been on the Yes to Life show before, Dr. Bernard Willis. Dr. Willis has practiced abroad for many years, and during his time in New Zealand, he regularly used GC Math to help people with cancer.
Hi, Bernie. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
I wanted to pick your brains a bit to find out about your experience of using GC Math, and also what's your experience of what's happened with it recently and where things are heading. So maybe you can start off by telling us how long ago you first came across it and started using it, and give us some kind of idea of the number of situations you've used it in. As you know, it's something you've used commonly or just occasionally.
You know, the main use is in cancer patients. And while I was in New Zealand, I had quite a busy clinic, and we saw quite a few cancer patients to help them through it and perhaps try and increase their immunity. And what GC Map does, it actually boosts the patient's immunity quite considerably, and after the injection they get a sort of a temperature which shows the immunity has gone up, and some of the research from Europe is very good about it. I've used it in all kinds of cancers, both by sort of subcutaneous injection, which the patient does himself, and also by IV injection. And sometimes you can give it actually straight into a lesion. I remember we had a patient with lymphoma with nodules on his back, and we injected some GC Math into it. And after several weeks, it shrunk away. So it did work.
To clarify a few things you said there. So there are two different ways of administering it. One of them, you're talking about subcutaneous injections. So these are small injections just given under the skin, which you do yourself, a bit like some people administer for the diabetics or something.
Yes, you do. A bit like a diabetic, you do it subcutaneously with a small needle.
But the other
tiny
one,
you only need tiny, that's 0.1 ml, 0.2 of a cc.
So the other one is a sort of more full-on thing where you're having it intravenously. IV means intravenous, and so you're giving much larger doses over a period of some hours straight into a vein.
Yeah, you give it actually by an IV push. They don't sit next to a drip stand. It's dissolved in saline or sterile water and injected in, you know, via a syringe. Or we used to have syringe drivers that actually push the solution into the vein at regulated amounts at certain times, so that it was a slow, regulated, accurate, you know, push into the veins.
Okay, and so then you went on, you were saying that you've had experience of where you're actually directly injecting tumours with GC Math to
Give
them a very direct result there.
Yeah. And in the clinics in Germany and Japan, and there was also one now in Auckland, they were actually injecting it via ultrasound control. So if you've got a lump in your liver, they'd isolate it, you know, find it, locate it with an ultrasound, and then inject it into the vein that is close to the liver. This is a hospital procedure, but in a sort of hospital stroke clinic, you can actually do that. And that's where the best results came, you know, injecting it directly into the vein that goes into the organ that's affected by the cancer.
Right. So even though this is something which is directed at your immune system generally, to actually deliver it locally, it has a benefit then.
Yeah, more of a benefit, because obviously it's getting close to where the tumor is.
So can you give us an idea of how often you've used it? I mean,
I must have used, I suppose, digging out the memory bank, I must have used it in about 30 patients, probably.
Right, over
a 5-year period.
Right. So you've got a fair idea of how effective it is, and you obviously, you've continued to use it over quite a long period, so you must have felt that it was worth it.
It was worth it. It's very expensive, so, you know, the patients are not going to pay for something that doesn't work.
Right.
So, yeah, we got good results. We had, obviously, no one can claim they're going to cure cancer, but what we did, we did manage to reverse stage of cancer on a couple of occasions.
Right, okay. All right, so when a new approach comes along, whether this is in orthodox medicine or alternative medicine, they're usually heralded as the kind of wonder drug. Here it is, the thing we've all been waiting for. But after a period of time, it all settles down a bit and you begin to find out where exactly it fits into the whole spectrum of approaches. And the answer usually turns out that it helps some people some other time. So how's GCMAF fared in this?
Yeah, that's correct. But I very rarely used it in isolation. I use it in conjunction with other therapies. I found it worked quite well with mistletoe therapy, because they both do the same thing. They both give the body's immune system a boost, and also the same protocol. You'd probably use IV vitamin C, and you use lots of curcumin. Yeah, all the things that we know can help destroy cancer cells. If you do it all together, a therapeutic combined approach, then you're obviously going to get better results.
Right. Okay, so can we talk a little bit about GCMAF itself and how it works, or how it's believed to work? Can you tell us a bit more precisely what it does?
Yeah, I can, but I'm in a bit of a dilemma here, because they've just moved all the goalposts and redone the research. Right. So I'll tell you what the new research says.
Okay, let's keep up to date.
It's been reinvented.
Has it?
GCMAF.
Okay, hot off the press. Here is the latest.
they went through all the research they did before, yeah. And they found that the GCMAF protein, it's a protein that attaches to vitamin D, and it's a macrophage activating factor. In other words, it activates these macrophages. These are the cancer-killing cells in the body. Okay, but I've just found out now that about a year ago, it has no effect per se, the GCMAF protein. It only works by carrying three molecules through the cell wall. And those three molecules are actually doing the good work rather than the GCMAF itself. It's only a carrier. They've just found that out.
That's okay. Interesting. Yeah, okay.
And what these three substances do is that they activate the macrophages, as I said. And they directly inhibit the proliferation of cancer cells. And they actually stimulate the killing of cancer cells. It's called apoptosis, where cancer cells, you know, spontaneously combust. And the other thing it does, it also inhibits new vessel formation around a tumor. This is called angiogenesis. It stops that too. And it also helps to protect the nerves and develop new nerves around the area.
Okay. So it's acting on a lot of different targets at once, in fact.
Yes, yeah. But they found that the reason it does this is because it carries three proteins, three molecules. One, the first one is chondroitin sulfate. You presumably heard that in terms of use for osteoarthritis, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's one thing. So chondroitin sulfate turns into something called N-acetylgalactosamine, Nagalase. Have you heard of Nagalase?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And this is very, very good at killing cancer cells. And what it does, it helps the attachment of GCMAF to plasma membrane. Mm-hmm. So it's actually the chondroitin sulfate that binds the plasma membrane of target cells. And that's how it works. So it's actually carried by the GCMAF rather than itself. And it carries out most of the functions that actually were thought to be done by GCMAF. The second thing that the chondroitin sulfate is the molecule that helps the GCMAF into the cells, and so there's no, they actually don't need any more GCMAF because chondroitin sulfate does it, and it binds onto the cancer proteins and stops them from working, and it shows most effects of GCMAF are in all kinds of it are due to chondroitin sulfate and also something else called oleic acid. This is the second thing that thing it carries through the cells. And these are all molecules that have a beneficial effect on the cells. And if you combine it also with vitamins and lactoferrin, all kinds of things, they've actually put it into a kind of yogurt. And they sell this on the site, which I'll come to later. Okay. And inside are lots of immunoglobulins, lactoferrins, GCMAF, oleic acid, and lots of other vitamins. And it's all together in this one probiotic yogurt. So you can actually take the yogurt and you're getting GCMAF and chondroitin sulfate in that.
Okay, so it's changed from being something you inject into yourself to something you eat now. So the GCMAF is still in there, even though it's actually it's only still being used as a carrier. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Chondroitin sulfate helps that through too.
Yeah.
And the other thing, of course, the other one is oleic acid, which kills cancer cells too. And they say, well, you know, they find that could all the other effects being due to GCMAF be part due to these chondroitin and oleic acid instead?
Yeah.
And this is the new research. Okay. Right. The third molecule it takes into the cells is vitamin D.
Okay.
So we all know about the beneficial effects of vitamin D in cancer. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now that they've got a very potent substance, and they've called it and that contains chondroitin sulfate, oleic acid, and vitamin D. And they think all those three things are doing what, you know, GCMAP was supposed to do.
Okay. So is this sort of touted as being an improvement on GCMAF, or is it just a new way of presenting it?
It's a new science, but it's also easier and safer to use because it's not a protein. You see, these are all three things that, you know, belong in the body, and we often you know supplement separately. So they're not. You don't have the same sort of restrictions. I mean, if you remember, the GCMAF lab was closed down in Guernsey in you know Channel Islands because it was an animal protein, and they were worried about quality control and allergies and things like this.
I see.
They say there are a number of advantages which I'll read out to you because okay. as I haven't used. One advantage is it's not derived from blood, and it's therefore not affected by any problems that you know that affected GCMAF before.
Right.
It's not digested by acid. Or the protein enzymes in the stomach, since it's not a protein, and it's bioavailable and yeah. It's increased by digestion. It's heat stable, so it doesn't require any particular storage or shipping restriction. It's non-allergenic. It doesn't use any allergenic reactions at all, and it's a bona fide dietary supplement, since it is composed by well-known dietary supplements that have been used for eight decades. You know, chondroitin sulfate,
vitamin
D, and oleic acid.
So it's really moved from being a medicine, if you like, to being a supplement now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
In Europe, chondroitin sulfate are approved as a drug with evidence, efficacy, and safety demonstrated by clinical trials. So it is something now that nobody's going to complain about.
Right.
And it's also registered in the US as a dietary supplementation by the FDA.
Okay, interesting. So it's a big change. Has this affected the price, or is it still very expensive?
I'll tell you this. Let me just finish the other advantages, okay? It's extremely bioavailable, okay?
Yeah.
Which wasn't the case with GCMAP. It didn't always get where it wanted to get. And it's rapidly absorbed very quickly through all kinds of ways. You can give it. It's also nano size, tiny. It means that the contact surface is about 1,000-fold wider. Than a long protein like GCMAF, so you get more absorption. It's there able to reach many more targets in the body than GCMAF could do.
Okay.
What they do, they suggest you do with a protocol. The first thing on the protocol is a ketogenic diet.
Okay.
You know, we know about that, don't we?
We've spoken about that quite a bit on this program.
Yeah, okay. And they also reconstitute the microbiome in the gut. They can do this. This yogurt contains lots of probiotic bacteria which does that.
Right, okay? Right.
And they can also target by ultrasound. This is what they're doing in the clinics in Switzerland.
Okay, so using the ultrasound as a diagnostic tool to find the right place in order to
locate
it. Okay.
So you can use it, as you say, as a supplement in the yogurt. You can use it by injection, subcutaneous injection.
Yeah.
You can use it into the tumor.
Yeah.
You can have it under the tongue.
Okay.
You can have it rectally, and you can use it as a cream.
Right.
So lots and lots of different ways of doing it.
There are so many more than there were with GC Map.
Yes, and you know, there's a whole list of it's not just cancer. The whole list of indications here that they've used it in everything from aging to chronic inflammation, autoimmune disease, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, HIV/AIDS, high cholesterol, all kinds of vast range of chronic diseases which, you know, modern medicine will treat with drugs, you know.
Yes. Can you, one thing I'd like to ask, do you know, the first thing you read out there was that they recommend a ketogenic diet with this. Is that just because they think a ketogenic diet's a great thing, or because there's a particular connection with taking this medicine and the ketogenic diet?
No, I think it's an adjunct therapy, you know. As we know, if you put the body into ketosis, the cancer has less glucose and less sugar to feed on.
Right.
It doesn't like ketones.
Right. So it's just simply because they're saying this is actually just another good treatment to do alongside it.
Yes, exactly.
Are there any undesirable side effects or contraindications?
No, it's hypoallergenic. It doesn't affect anything. Because these are all natural things that belong in the body, you see.
Right.
So you're not putting anything foreign in there.
No. And have you found it to help with any particular types of cancer?
I only speak about GC Map, of course, because I haven't had the chance to use this stuff yet.
Yeah.
I use GC Map in all kinds of cancer. I think it worked quite well for multiple myeloma. It works in lung cancer and breast cancer.
So I think that's about all we've got time for, in fact. So a big thank you to you for helping to throw a bit of light on a controversial therapy. It's always very hard to know who and what to believe amongst all the sort of tabloid sound bites.
Yeah.
So it's really helpful to talk to somebody who's actually used the stuff and has real first-hand experience. So thanks very much, Bernie.
You're welcome. Good to talk to you. Bye for now.
If you're wondering why the name of the new product was beeped out of that interview, it's because it's a trade name, unlike GC Map, which is simply the name of a naturally occurring substance. In the UK, we have the 1939 Cancer Act, which prohibits advertising of cancer treatments or cures. Advertising relates to products or services that can be bought, and therefore we've had to bleep out all mentions of the product. I'm afraid you'll need to do your own research if you want to find out more. As usual, look at the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk. Click Media Centre in the left-hand sidebar and choose UK Health Radio for links to resources from today's show. If you're enjoying the shows, you may want to follow me on Facebook or on Twitter. The charity Yes to Life is also on Facebook and on Twitter. And our new book, The Cancer Revolution, has a website at thecancerrevolution.co.uk that you may want to check out. Next week, I shall be catching Dr. Francisco Contreras, the medical director of the Oasis of Hope Hospital in Mexico, who will be here in the UK for a lecture tour. I hope you can join me again. Goodbye.